This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Heathens, infidels, and countrymen and women, lend us your free-thinking ears. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. Lend us your ears. We come to bury Jesus, not to praise him on this show. I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and this is the weekend of July 10th and 11th, 2010.
And a warm hello to our faithless, faithful listeners also in Anchorage, Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, and those listening by podcast everywhere.
This show, Free Thought Radio, is the weekly, hourly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And get that right, freedom from, not of. Of course, we're all in favor of freedom of religion, but we are atheists and agnostics in our organization. We are people who are free from religion. We are the nation's largest organization of free thinkers, and we work to make sure that religion and government remain separate, honoring that wonderful constitutional principle upon which our country was based, and to educate the public about the views of those of us who are not religious.
And helping to educate on that matter will be Jason Hagen. He's the originator of the Atheist Pocket Debater. It's a new app for iPhones, and he was featured in the New York Times last week, and he'll be joining us on the second half of Free Thought Radio.
And for now, we'll take a look at the news. Let's start with a clip from a recent Keith Olbermann show. The National Day of Prayer and the Freedom From Religion Foundation's legal challenge of it has been staying in the news, and here's a cute reference to the uselessness of a National Day of Prayer. This is the part on the Keith Olbermann news show where he reads a featured Twitter.
The tweet of the day, it's a repeat winner, Don Millard. Maybe if we had a National Day of Saints instead of prayer, we'd know how to stop a deep sea oil disaster. Man, I'd settle happily for one of each right now.
And another Freedom From Religion Foundation legal challenge has been in the news. You may have caught that Hine versus the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that Supreme Court decision, came up in the questioning by senators of Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan at her hearing over a week ago.
We were very pleased to see that thoughtful question by Senator Dianne Feinstein. In our 2007 case, Hine versus FFRF, a 5-4 decision was handed down by the Supremes that was supremely wrong, denying the right of taxpayers to sue over executive expenditures that violate the Establishment Clause. In that case, we were challenging President Bush's creation of faith-based offices in the White House and cabinets, and these expenditures were thoroughly debated by Congress for many years, but the majority on the Supreme Court nevertheless said, since there was no directive by Congress to fund these faith-based offices, there was no way for anyone to challenge acts by the executive office which might violate the separation of church and state.
And this is the biggest issue that we face before the Supreme Court these days. It's what's called standing, or the right to sue. The courthouse doors are being slammed shut so that there's no way to hold executives accountable when they misuse their office and misuse public appropriations to promote or subsidize religion. So let's listen to Senator Feinstein's very good question about our case.
My question is on the Establishment Clause. I believe our nation was founded on the principle that the United States would never be a place for religious persecution, and therefore religion and the government would remain separate and independent of each other. And I think that's part of what makes us a strong nation, and it also protects us from religious discrimination. Here is the question. and let me put it all into one. What will be your approach to interpreting the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, and how do you believe it works with the Free Exercise Clause? And then if you could respond also on the question of standing to sue, the ability to bring a case in the federal court. In the case of Hine v. Freedom from Religious Foundation that held that taxpayers no longer have constitutional standing to bring challenges to the executive branch expenditures on the grounds that they violate the Establishment Clause. The problem is, if taxpayers don't have the ability to bring a case, who does the ability to bring a case and allow whether the executive branch is complying with the Constitution? That's three things at one time, but I think you're probably able to handle them.
And Elena Kagan answers that, but first there's a long response she gives before she addresses Senator Feinstein's question. So we'll skip over the bulk of her reply, but we can't say that we're cutting to the chase. First, she makes a general statement on the religion clauses in the First Amendment, and then Elena Kagan finally replies to Feinstein's question. Hang in there and listen carefully.
In general, I think what the both First Amendment clauses are designed to do, and this is the way in which they work hand in hand with each other, What they're both designed to do is to ensure that you have full rights as an American citizen. You are a part of this country, no matter what your religion is, and to ensure that religion just never functions as a way to people because of their religious belief or because of their religious practice at some disadvantage with respect to any of the rights of American citizenship. So I think that that's the sort of overall purpose of both parts of the amendment. As to the matter of taxpayer standing, I want to be very careful here because there is a taxpayer standing issue, as I understand it, that will be before the court next term. The court has stated that taxpayers generally have standing to make certain kinds of Establishment Clause claims, specifically claims against congressional legislation, and when a taxpayer can, by virtue of being a taxpayer, can sue to contest governmental actions taken under Congress's power to appropriate money, but that a taxpayer may not have standing to contest executive action just by virtue of being a taxpayer. Now, that doesn't mean that there may not be somebody who has standing to contest such action. I think what the court has suggested is just that the sort of normal injury that Article III requires has to be shown. The injury can't come just by virtue of being a taxpayer, but has to come from something else in addition. But there is, a case on the docket.
Such as the individual being actually affected.
Yes, exactly right.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was Elena Kagan seemingly siding with the majority against us in Hine versus FFRF, against taxpayer standing and the right to sue. But of course, we all know the nominee's goal is to say nothing that could impair her nomination and therefore say as little as possible. So we shall see.
And that does remind us there were two Supreme Court decisions of note on the separation between government and religion in the last term. There was an unfortunate ruling on April 28th in a 5-4 decision, what else, by the U.S. Supreme Court in favor of preserving a large Latin cross as a war memorial in the Mojave Desert. This was a really strange case in which Congress intervened to thwart a lower court that ruled the cross unconstitutional. It was placed without permission by private individuals on a federal preserve. Congress approved a land swap to save the cross. They swapped a tiny bite of the preserve in which it was placed for some private land adjoining the preserve owned by a religious veteran so they could keep it in the middle of the preserve. The site was primarily known for its Easter sunrise services, but supporters insisted it was really a memorial honoring soldiers who died during World War I.
And there was a scathing dissent by outgoing Justice John Paul Stevens, who's now been replaced by Elena Kagan, who called it a sham. He said, making a plain, unadorned Latin cross a war memorial does not make the cross secular. It makes the war memorial sectarian. There was also a good decision this term in which the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 on June 28th that a college of law was not discriminating when it did not give segregated fee funding to a religious club that did discriminate on religious terms against non-Christians and gays. And that was a 5-4 where Kennedy swung the right way.
And we signed on to an amicus brief.
In both of those cases, we entered a very good amicus brief by ourselves in the Mojave Cross case. And we signed on with several secular groups, including the American Humanist Association with Hastings.
Coming up, we have a fun interview with the designer of an atheist app. It's called the Atheist Pocket Debater. It's designed for iPhones.
And in the next segment, we'll play a little of a Texas U.S. rep's speech before Congress trying to turn the 4th of July into a religious event. And we'll debunk some of his phony history and alert you to what you can do to help save the life of an Iranian woman sentenced to stoning. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, and Free Thought Radio will be right back.
I'm Michael Nuto, and this is Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, here in the studio with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Sometimes people write to us and ask us exactly what is our relationship. Well, Annie Laurie and I are married. We were married in 1987. And besides being co-presidents of the foundation and co-hosts of the show, we are also co-parents of a daughter who's almost 21. Sabrina is 20 years old now.
And with that confession, true confession coming up will be Joseph Hagan of Queens, who has developed an iPhone application for atheists to use in debates. And you may have read the July 3rd feature about him. It started on page one of the New York Times last Saturday.
Before we get to that interview at the bottom of the hour, there's a little more news and some bad history debunking to get over last week's July 4th holiday. Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas droned on and on before the July 4th recess in Congress, trying to turn July 4th into a religious holiday. We have just a little clip just to show you some of the flavor of what he said.
What an incredible day, 4th of July, 1776 was. That document, as referred to by the late Senator Robert Byrd in his speech that he gave June 27, 1962, on the occasion of the Supreme Court losing their collective mind and saying that the Constitution that would not have been created were it not for the plea in the form of motion by Benjamin Franklin that we begin having prayer every day. The Congress is in session, seconded by Mr. Sherman, unanimously adopted. If it were not for prayer, there would be no Constitution. And the Supreme Court turned around in 1962 and said, you know what, we shouldn't have prayer in schools.
So, once more, the myth that our founders prayed at the Constitutional Convention raises its hoary head. It's kind of like that horror film character Jason. It just can't be killed. You think you've put it to rest, and then it comes back to assault our Constitution again, but it's fiction.
Jason is the name of our next guest, so he's not the Jason you're talking about.
No.
And this is a fiction that Congress invoked in 1952 when it passed the law requiring a National Day of Prayer and required our president to issue a National Day of Prayer proclamation. the law that federal judge Barbara Crabb ruled unconstitutional in the Freedom From Religion Foundation's challenge of the law, and our victory, as you've heard on this show, our victory is being appealed by the Obama administration.
And finally, I think we have time for a grim reminder of the harm of religion to women. An Iranian mother of two, her name, if I get it right, is Sakina Mohammadi Ashtiani, is in danger of being stoned to death at any moment under a death decree handed down by Iranian authorities for so-called adultery.
Ashtiani, who is 42, is to be buried up to her chest. Stones that will be hurled are to be large enough to cause pain, but not so large as to kill her immediately.
Can you think of anything more cold-blooded or bloodthirsty? This is straight out of the Bible, the Old Testament or Hebrew Bible or whatever you want to call it, shared in common by the three Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. She has been accused of adultery. That was back in 2006, and you'll find the punishment of stoning is laid out in Deuteronomy 22. The emphasis there is on stoning non-virgins on their wedding night, but it also lays out stoning as a punishment for extramarital sex for either males or females.
We have a CNN TV report from July 5th featuring Anna Gorin and CNN producer Mitra Mubasharat.
Now, it's hard to imagine what kind of toll this is taking on the family of the Iranian woman who faces execution. Well, under the sentence, she is to be buried up to her chest and then stoned. Well, CNN producer Mitra Mubasharat joins me now from CNN Center. And Mitra, you have actually spoken to the woman's son. What did she say? What did he have to say, I should say?
Well, Anna, he's extremely upset, as you can imagine. 22-year-old Sajjad spoke to me on the phone this afternoon from Tabriz, Iran, which is a city in northwestern Iran. He actually visited his mother this morning in the prison that she is being held in. Every Monday, him and his sister are actually able to go spend 15 minutes with her, and he does it every single week. He tells me it is so hard to see her behind the glass window, and she's just pleading to her son to please help her with her case and help the international community know about what is actually happening to his mother.
Ashtiani, she was flogged 5 years ago and in front of her children for this alleged crime. What did her son say about this? Because you can only imagine that this must be just carved into her children's minds.
Of course, that was one of the first things that he wanted me to know. He wanted me to know about the day that he witnessed his mother lash 9 times. And what he wants everybody to know is she paid this price with the 99 lashes for a crime that he still says she's completely innocent for doing. Now, he wants to know, why is she now? Why has this case now been reopened? He hasn't gotten a good reason.
So we devoutly hope, as this is being broadcast, that this Iranian mother has not been executed by stoning, that it will be put off. You can help. The only way to help is international pressure.
Go to the Freedom From Religion Foundation's website, ffrf.org, and look under news, and then look for FFRF's action alert earlier this week, providing documentation and various pressure points, places that you can email, where you can sign petitions or telephone about this issue. There needs to be an international outcry.
And there needs to be an international awakening that the Bible, Quran, and other religious dogma must be separated from government to prevent future such miscarriages of justice, the prospect of such future atrocities. Because as Ruth Hermance Green wrote, the Bible is a moral, a behavioral grab bag. If you want to persecute, prosecute, slay, execute in its name, you'll find injunctions sanctifying the worst and most barbaric atrocities.
I want to know, where's the man in this story? Maybe he's throwing one of the rocks, right? I mean, it takes two to tangle, doesn't it? Well, this is one of the reasons why we need to get and keep religion out of government in this country and in the whole world. The Freedom From Religion Foundation used to have a bumper sticker that said, Iran, one nation under God. Well, there's a lesson here for the Louis Gohmerts of the world, that representative that we just heard saying that America is a Christian nation.
And we should put in a little plug for Ruth Hermance Green's book that's been a bestseller ever since we first published it in 1980, The Born Again Skeptic's Guide to the Bible, and you can order that at fff.org.
And it's also in Spanish. El libro está
for free.
Está disponible en español, gratis.
And know thine enemy, and know what the Bible says. And if you judge Islam, you have to know a lot of it is shared in common by Christianity and Judaism. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We'll be back for a fun, for a change, an enlightening interview of Jason Hagen, who's written The Atheist Pocket Debater, an app for iPhone users who want an alternative to all those religious apps out there for iPhones. And if you don't know what we're talking about, stay tuned and we'll enlighten you and he'll enlighten you on ways to debate with religionists by picking up your telephone and getting the answers there and enlightening the world.
And this is not a plug to buy an iPhone, but I think maybe we need to get one, don't we, after these apps are available. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Jerry Hedrick from Eagan, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We're listening to a little bit of our upcoming guest's music, Jason Hagen.
And Jason Hagen is 39, and I didn't know when we first contacted him that he's also a musician. We're listening to some of his guitar music right now, by the way. Jason Hagen was featured in the New York Times last Saturday, not for his music, but for something entirely different. He has just designed the Atheist Pocket Debater app. App, short for application, the app for iPhones. He's in Queens, New York. He and his wife, Raquel, who works at AARP, they have a four-year-old daughter, Dorothy, who was adopted from Guatemala. Jason Hagen grew up in Virginia. He's the son of fundamentalist evangelical parents. In fact, his father is still an elder in the church. He became a good guitarist at an early age. He played guitar in Sunday worship services and as a preteen. He went to Christian school off and on throughout his childhood. He also developed the Singer's Vocal Warm-Up app. He has a private music teaching business in Manhattan, and he's a session musician on guitar, ukulele, and mandolin. He's a singer, songwriter of vocal and instrumental music. He's the guitarist for the Tony Harnell Band in New York City. They just released an album on Frontiers Records, and he started a real estate company in 2004. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Jason.
Hey, great, great. I'm so happy to be here. It's awesome.
You sound like a really busy person, so thanks for spending a little bit of time with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
So before we talk about your app, you told us that you were raised in a Christian evangelical family, but you never were born again, I guess. It never took, and that very early on you were asking all these kinds of questions that you are now debunking in your Atheist Pocket Debater app. So you never did believe, or why did you never believe?
Well, you know, growing up in this, you know, somewhat oppressive area, you know, this actually gave me, I mean, all these thoughts have been going around in my head for so long. When I decided to write this, it was so easy. It just poured out. Like in 3 months, I had the whole app done. I mean, it was, I've been thinking about this forever. But, you know, growing up when I was a kid, it was everyone around me was constantly preaching hellfire and brimstone. In fact, my music, you know, even music I wanted to listen to, like Led Zeppelin, was even that was satanic. I mean, I felt like a Puritan society or something, you know. So I was started asking questions. You know, when I was 13, I became very skeptical. I'm just you know, asking my teachers, you know all the, how do you know the stuff in the Bible's true? You know, and he's like, oh, don't go there, Jason. No, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to talk about that. You know, and then I asked, you know, one time I asked somebody, you know, wouldn't it be better to make decisions or think about, you know, use your brain to make decisions? And they were like, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, you question the Bible, or you shouldn't use intellect to, you know, you should follow the teachings of the Bible. So it just seemed that it didn't make sense to me ever. Even when I got baptized, born again baptized at 12, in my mind.
Well, then you're covered, you know, you're saved, right? So there you go.
Yeah.
Was this a full body immersion?
Yes, I was in a creek. With
well,
the whole congregation on the side of the river, and I was dunked in.
And well, that's what really was the turning point for my father, raised in a Christian church. It was that humiliation of that full body dunking in front of everybody that really provoked him to leave religion.
But it never took with you, right? It just washed right off.
Well, my parents came to me and said, "Hey, Jason, you know, we don't want to pressure you here, but it's time that you, you know, maybe should think about getting, you know, accepting, you know, Jesus as your, you know, Savior in front of the congregation, and we're going to do it down at the creek, you know, and maybe it's, well, I'm not making you do it, but we want to, you know, obviously I had to say yes, so I did it, and the whole time it was just strictly to please everyone around me.
By the way, I want to say that crackling, if you can hear it on the phone, is not demon possessions. We just went through a horrible rainstorm here, and the power was off in the building. So there's a little bit of that something going on here. So
just pretend it's old-fashioned radio.
Yeah.
Well, now Jason, Dan, and I are a little bit at a disadvantage because we don't own an iPhone.
Not yet, anyway.
So for people like us who aren't who are listening, who maybe don't know what an app is, do you want to explain and also explain that there's this proliferation of religious apps that you started encountering?
Yes. Well, an app is stands for application, which is a computer program. And these smartphones are so powerful now that they are like computers. They have a computer screen, and you can access, do things like you do on your computer on the phone. And so people began making these apps, not for the computer, but for the phone, and it's different. And so you can play games on your phone, and you can read books on your phone, and you know, do GPS, find out where you're going in your car on your phone. So that's what it is, and there's different things you can do, so that's what these book apps are that I did. It's a book.
Did you tell the New York Times you just got an iPhone recently, right?
Yes, I haven't had an iPhone that long, maybe, I don't know, a little over a year or something.
And so you started seeing all of these religious apps?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes. I was actually on vacation. I was just sitting there at the beach looking through my iPhone at the App Store, and I was going to do an app about skepticism. And that was what I wanted to do. I thought that would be fun, you know, just debunking things. And then I kind of thought that it didn't seem like that was going to be very popular or something, and didn't know. And then I typed in God and religion and Islam and Buddhism, and even Scientology has 5 or 6 apps, you know. So, and then I thought, well, religion seems to be doing great. Hundreds of Christian apps, Bible, many, many apps. And then I typed in atheism, 3, or not even 3, 2. And they were the same. They were both quotes, atheist quotes. Great, interesting stuff, though. But, and I was just like, why on earth is there no atheist apps? I mean, you've got, you know, Dan Barker, and we've got, you know, all the books, you know, Sam Harris and, you know, Christopher Hitchens and all these bestsellers. And I'm just like, there's got to be, you know, an app here for me, you know, or for anybody that just wants to be able to, you know, just read through their side. So I thought, I'm going to make it.
So the New York Times reported that you worked kind of with Michael Shermer, who's an author, a skeptic.
We had him on our show.
Yeah,
too.
It's not quite right.
It didn't get it right. So what's the story?
I've talked with Michael Shermer several times, basically asking him if I could use, you know, Article 2 in the app. Yeah, he's been great as far as anytime I needed anything, easy to contact, and it was great. But it wasn't like a cooperation or anything. It was
so you've reprinted some of his essays with permission.
Yeah.
And so what's, because we don't have an iPhone, we can't really see it. Is it just a series of questions with your answers, or how does the app work?
Oh, well, the app, okay. Basically, you open up the app, and it's got three books. It's got Atheist Debater, which is the hot one. That's the one that everybody is excited about. It's got all the arguments against God, the Bible and everything. It's fun. The second book is Skepticism, and the third book is Humanism. And it just basically, I wanted to make the app not just all attack, negative. I wanted to be positive. And I also wanted to be logical. So I had all three. I just had to put them in there. And so for me, it was the same way. Skepticism is what came first for me. I was a skeptical teenager. I didn't buy it. I didn't buy any of it. And that, eventually in my 20s, I started realizing I'm an atheist. But then in my 30s, and my wife were talking. We were discussing it. We're atheists, but is that all we are? We're not. That's not. That doesn't describe at all what we are. Really, it's a very small part of what we are. And we thought, what do we really believe? And then I read the Humanist Manifesto 3, and I thought, man, that really describes what I think. That is what I'm a humanist. So that's what I did. I had to put all of them in there. Skepticism led me to atheism, which can lead people to realize humanism.
Now, I read that you said something like atheism is hot and skepticism is cold and humanism is warm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, right. Well, kind of like what I was saying, it's just a way to describe skepticism is more cold logic. I mean cold logic, like facts, illogical thinking, rationalizing, yeah, it's just basically like that. It's, thinking in terms of where's the evidence, let's look at the evidence, is this falsifiable, unfalsifiable, things like that. A scientific method, relying on science, and it's more cold, hard facts. And then atheism is a hot subject because it's more of a wild debate against, don't judge me, let's, this is what the Bible says this, but I find that immoral, repugnant, or whatever. So a
But you could mean it's hot in another sense, like, hey, atheism is really hot,
Yeah. Yeah, right, it could mean that, yeah. Yep. I meant more in the terms of people buying the app.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we'll continue talking with Jason Haig about his Atheist Pocket Debater app for iPhones. And before we do that, go out for the break, we have a tune by our guest Jason Hagen, the guitarist, called Tubular Bells. We're starting to play it, and we'll play it long enough for you to maybe guess what theme it is based on. And when we come back from the break, you can see if you guess right.
My name is Herb from Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We are speaking with Jason Hagen. We're listening to him. He's the inventor of the Atheist Pocket Debater app for iPhones, and we went out at the last break with something called Tubular Bells, a tune by our guest, and maybe you recognize that it was based on the theme from The Exorcist, which I guess makes sense because we're trying to exorcise iPhones of religion.
Now we're talking about how you can use your phone to promote atheism and win debates with religionists with Jason Hagen. So how can people get this app? What do you have to do to get it? Do you go online?
Sure. You can you can go into iTunes and just type in Atheist Pocket Debater and go to the app, and you can purchase it right there. Or you can, if you have on your iPhone, you can type in, or iTouch, you can type in the App Store, just type in Atheist Pocket Debater or Atheist, and you'll see it within the first three. And Atheist Pocket Debater is this one, and you select it, and it says purchase. You push purchase, and it comes right on your phone, then you can use it.
How much does it cost?
$2.99.
Oh, what a deal.
So what, you get a nickel for each one probably, right? Something like that?
A little more than that, but it is still not too much. But you're more like looking at volume, basically, with this kind of thing. It's, sell as many as you can, and hopefully, you make money.
And we, since we don't have iPhones, you were gracious enough to send us by email some of the chapters. There's one in here that looks really intriguing. It's about America. Is that in the humanism part? It says America was not founded on Christian principles, which is an issue near and dear to our hearts.
Yes. In fact, I referenced your book from, I actually use your book in that particular.
Well, then I should get a nickel.
You should. Okay, I'll write a check for you. that actually is in the atheist section. I talk about Thomas Jefferson and, the Treaty of Tripoli and, all the things that we should be aware of, when somebody's talking about this is a Christian nation, we should know, and there's a quick reference. You hit that button and it's going to have two pages full of facts that are, they're there. This is the way it is. And Supreme Court rulings have used Thomas Jefferson's, own writings in their rulings. So, it's a...
And what do you say about the Treaty of Tripoli? We've talked about that on our show a lot, but what does your app say about that?
It just explains what it is, America was in any sense not formed as a Christian nation, not meant to be,
Yeah, we have that as a bus slogan now.
Fact, and I've seen, Dan, I've seen you, say that on air, too, many times. I think it's just such a powerful, truth of what the intention was.
And how do they get around that? How do the religious right get around that flat-out statement that we are not in any sense? What part of in any sense don't they understand? We're not in any sense founded on the Christian religion.
Well, I guess they have to repudiate the Congress of the era and John Adams who signed it, huh?
Yeah. And then I've seen recently a guy has a book out. He's trying to talk about, what about the Declaration? But the Declaration is not our Constitution. That's not has no value whatsoever, except the fact that it was a Declaration that we were in.
But that is a huge problem. The deism of the Declaration of Independence is totally distorted by fundamentalists today, who just don't get it.
Nature's God, right in it.
Right.
I mean, it's nature's God, and we know they were deists. I mean, that's what they were talking about.
And they didn't talk about the Bible or the Ten Commandments or Jesus in the Declaration of Independence. Right. So. Now, I'm sorry?
They surely would have if they wanted to. I mean, mm-hmm. if they felt that.
So do you also have the arguments, like design and first cause and ontological?
I have almost all of them, yes. There's I have almost all of them in there. The design is one, I have elements of it, but it's a deep one. And usually that falls into a defense. Usually when people are discussing God, they go into attacking evolution as if that, as if that proves some God, and that is a fallacy in itself. It has nothing to do with, it's a defensive position, it's the whole thing. But I am going to conclude it actually very soon,
And it's basically a God of the gaps. It's like,
is that? I do have God of the gaps in there. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, because they say, here's a problem that science can't answer, so how do you explain that? It must be God. They fill in the blank.
It must be God. Yeah, it's a fallacy from the beginning. If this, it doesn't have anything to do with it, actually. But I do have God of the gaps in there. And the actual, I have fine-tuning, argument fine-tuning, that will be in there, though, the new one.
So, Jeff, give me an example. Jason, I'm sorry. If somebody was wanting to quickly look something up because maybe they were having a debate with somebody or maybe they wanted to write a letter to the editor, put in a key phrase and find it in your app?
Absolutely, yeah. There is but actually this update has just, it should be in the app any day. I mean, literally today or tomorrow, the update will take effect. And that update has a search function where you just type in any word, you know, and it'll come up with every article in the app that has that word in it. And that's great. And also, the new update has iPad. Also, that's a new Apple device. It's going to have, it's also available on iPad now. But that's in this new update, which is literally any day, as soon as Apple approves it.
So the iPads will take all the apps that work in an iPhone?
Yes, but it's bigger. It's like,
right,
like a big iPhone.
So you can be a big atheist.
Yes, the biggest.
Well, easier to read.
It is easier to read, yes. That's the thing. iPhone can get a little bit like, you know, you're reading it, but it's small. But I actually, on mine, I have controls where you can adjust the fonts and the size, the font size and the actual font.
So we have time for maybe one more question and answer, Dan.
Either on the Bible contradictions or on humanist view of death. I noticed those are a couple of sections in your app.
Right.
Well, which would you like to address?
Me?
Yeah, we got 1 minute left.
I would say, I thought maybe, you know, one of the best humanist arguments against the existence of God or, you know, organized religion is from the humanist angle. And one thought I've always thought of is going to be in the new update is, if you had to make a choice between the two, which would it be? Would you sacrifice humanity to serve God, or would you sacrifice God to save humanity?
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but the problem is, it is that choice is being made all the time by politicians all over the world and powerful people. You know, in almost every single you know, aspect of, you know, like you got stem cell research, euthanasia, you know, teaching of evolution in schools, abstinence-only programs in Africa and U.S., you know, treatment of homosexuals, corporal punishment, hitting kids. You know, all of these have a religious ideology argument coming. That's where they're coming
from.
Well,
thank you so much. We are out of time, but we appreciate talking with you. This is Jason Hagen, who has invented the Atheist Pocket Debater for iPhones or iPads. And go to it, everyone. And thank you so much.
And we're listening to some of Jason's guitar music in the background. We also want to thank our producer of our show, of Free Thought Radio. His name is Brian Tarani. And our engineer and our announcer, Buzz Camper. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear podcasts and archives of this show.
And you can call 1-800-335-4021 or go to ffrf.org to join us to ask for free information, the June-July issue of our newspaper. And we invite you to tune in this week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.